from the city of brotherly love, this is Shark Bite Biz with David Strausser.
You just arrived to the newest episode of Shark Bite Biz. I'm your rockstar wannabe host, David Strausser, and this is your place to learn how to grow a business during complete global chaos. As always, this episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor at SAP and Acumatica Gold Partner, Stellar One. Is your business ready to move off QuickBooks? Ready to kind of get away from spreadsheets and just really embrace technology and move your business to the next level? Reach out to us. Reach out to me. Go to StellarOneConsulting.com or StellarOne.io, and we'll help you break through the barriers preventing growth. Now, let's get back to today's episode. We're chatting about entrepreneurship and priorities, as well as the circle of influence. So, who do we have today? None other than Matthew Brackett. With a rich 30-year voyage in personal, professional, and intercultural leadership development, Matthew is considered to be much more than an executive coach. Imagine him as a human Swiss Army knife, being the go-to consultant, coach, and confidant for high-performing influencers, aiding them to balance personal and professional realms, thereby enhancing their leadership, their love, and their life. A passionate promoter of the human essence, Matthew offers conferences and workshops regarding many areas of leadership, human beings, and a healthy and wholesome manner, creating desired culture and embracing the beauty of diversity. So without further ado, let's bring Matthew right on in here.
Business strategy.
Matthew, welcome to Shark Bite Biz. You, my friend, you just became shark bait.
Oh, this is great. It's very privileged to be here with you, David, and with your people, with your audience.
Fantastic. Well, hey, a Penn State alumni, always glad to have someone on the show that went to the same college I did. So we are, right?
There you go. And I have to admit, I've never been to the campus or to the university, but I did a master's program.
Hey, World Campus is amazing. My son's doing it right now. It is really, really good. It was ahead of its time for so long, and now I think it's probably one of the leaders in virtual learning.
Fantastic program, and I still want to get back and visit.
You got to go check out the creamery there in Happy Valley. But anyways, we have a tradition on the show. The very first question we ask everybody: what do you do for a living? How did you get there? What's your experience? Basically, tell us in a nutshell, what makes Matthew Matthew?
Oh boy. Okay. The 10th of 13 children from small town New England. I leave home at 18 on a mission to do something impactful. That leads me to formal ministry. So I study for 10 years to become, study and train to become a Catholic priest. That brings me most of my studies in Italy, my philosophy, my theology. I receive ordination, what they call, as a priest in 2002. And so I continue working in Italy. That brings me then to Colombia and South America, then to Ireland and England, and then to Chile, and then back to Rome. And then along those lines, doing also some more studies, in master's in spiritual theology, master's in human development, postgraduate degree in Chile on family education and counseling. And I raised the white flag. I won't get into the nitty gritty because that's not what this podcast is about. But I need a pause. I need a break. I need a year. And I take a sabbatical year. I intern myself in a clinic for a few months to really deal with a lot of crisis of identity and my emotional life and my mental health. A lot of stuff that I've been building up over the years, deal with that. Also, just take a year off, really what I call a journey of coming home to myself. Then I want to reintegrate into ministry. So I joined the Navy as a chaplain, 3 years of service with the Navy and with the Marine Corps.
But were you still in the Catholic Church when you joined as a chaplain, or were you separated from them?
No, joined as a Catholic priest, as a Catholic chaplain. That's a generic side of military chaplaincy where you really, at a base of, where I was with 5,000 people, I take care of everyone. I'm the only chaplain there. But then, when I offer services as such, then I would offer Catholic services and sacraments and all that. And so those 3 years, amazing. There's so much to talk about just there. Such a fascinating experience to serve those people that serve. But during those years, it also just became very clear to me that that wasn't my place, and at least formal ministry as such. And so I finished my active duty, and I finished my time as in ministry as a priest. And then I start my own practice around leadership coaching and development. And I do my master's program at Penn State in the psychology of leadership. And that's me. And I live in Mexico City at the moment.
Mexico City. I lived in Mexico for 15 years. So I've loved it. That is that's an amazing career transformation from priest to Navy chaplain to leadership coach, essentially, if I heard that right. That's an incredible journey. I mean, kudos to you, because I don't know how many people would go through a journey such as that.
Yes, it's a lot there. There's a lot to, you know, and I don't recommend my journey to anyone. But at the same time, as I look back on it, I look back on it with gratitude, with so much appreciation, and really with satisfaction on everything that I was able to do, achieve, and the hurdles that I was able to overcome. So now when I was going through it, I didn't necessarily feel all that gratitude and appreciation. But as I look back now, and then it's made me who I am, and I'm at a really good place in life, very happy with who I've become. And I want to continue to, you know, I do what I do because I want to continue to serve people. And for example, I call myself sort of more of an executive coach because I really meet people at that intersection between the personal and professional. I don't just focus on, you know, the professional side, but on both. And so in leadership, as you know, David, leadership is one of those things that it will always be part of the human experience. You know, influence, leadership, power, and authority will always be part of the human experience. But when it's used, sadly, when it's not used in a proper way, it can be very destructive. And, you know, when it's not in a healthy way, but when it's healthy and wholesome, when all those things are used in a healthy, wholesome way, they are life-giving. And so that's why I'm very passionate about the human person, very passionate about also about leadership and authority and power and how it affects human development.
Okay, let's talk about this then, because you essentially went from, I don't know, I guess you could say having room and board paid between the Catholic Church and the military to being your own business leader, being your own entrepreneur. I mean, you became an entrepreneur, you started your own business. So what comes with the transition to entrepreneurship? What were some of the things that you didn't expect that creeped up on you? What were the things that you kind of expected, but didn't know how you'd take them once they arrived? Let's talk about that experience.
Yes. Thank you. And thank you for appreciating that, because some people might not know that about, you know, when I step out of ministry, I basically, while I have 30 years of experience, I bring nothing with me. I have no pension. It's not like the name, and not like I retire. I step away and I leave that safety net behind. In those securities, that's very, very hard for us as human beings to make those changes. And this happens for anyone. You know, when people think about retirement in the military, people think of retirement. When there's professionals that are thinking about entrepreneurship and, you know, stepping away from, you know, whatever, what we would call it, you know, a real job is hard, because that's what we know. That's the safety. That's the security. So it was very clear for me what I wanted to do. I really didn't want to. I think I got very tired. I worked for very large organizations, as you can know, the Catholic Church, large global complex organization, a religious order in the Catholic Church, very large global complex organization, the Department of Defense, large global complex organization. So I think I navigate those very well, but I also became very tired of those. I was like, I really don't want to work.
Which is kind of good, because, again, like you were saying, they're large organizations. And if you can navigate yourself through either the U.S. Navy, which, I mean, they have, what, trillions and trillions worth of unaccounted funds each and every year. So if you can navigate your way around the U.S. Navy and the Catholic Church, who I don't mean to insult the church, but they probably are just as complex as the U.S. Navy is, and probably a lot of things go missing in those Vatican archives. Sorry, I had to throw that out there. Never had a priest on the show. But I'm sorry. That makes me laugh. I finally got to say that. It took me over 220 episodes, but I finally got to talk about the Vatican archives. You know, if you can navigate yourself around those organizations, it kind of sets you up for success with working with a lot of other organizations that are just as success, just as many level of bureaucracies. I mean, everybody's seen movies about, this is low hanging fruit, okay? Exorcism type movies, okay? You've seen that and how they have to go through their process to get their official approval, unless you got a rogue priest that's just going to do it on his own. I saw one where Steven Seagal was just doing it on his own. It was like kicking the demon out of the person. But besides that, you have your layers of bureaucracy and you have to work your way through it. And that is very true and transitions over to the corporate world as well, too.
Very true. But you'd be surprised. People in the corporate world, they had a very hard time understanding that. Because they couldn't conceptualize my background. I knew I had a lot of they weren't able to appreciate that aspect. They're like, you're not, how are you going to navigate the corporate world if it never works in the corporate world? Oh boy, if you only knew. But anyways, I found a lot of resistance there. It's been very hard. Another thing about transition, and going back to your question about transition, is everyone told me you're going to be great. So this is more about caution or what everyone tells you. You know, it's going to be, you know, you're going to find clients. You have your unique skill set is going to be so valuable in the marketplace. If you're not a known element, no one knows me. I have no credibility in the marketplace. I have no.
You're also okay. Look, I'm going to say this, and I am not saying anything anti-Mexican. Okay, I lived in Mexico. My son is Mexican. My ex-wife is Mexican. I love Mexico. I have right here. I'm going to hide some of it, but I have a Mexican permanent residency green card. I have nothing against Mexico, but Mexico is a very close culture, and if you're not Mexican, you are outside. As friendly as people will be with you, it is hard to get into that inner circle, especially in the higher echelons of society, if you're not either super rich or Mexican. And that's where I always struggled, and it was hard for me when I was doing my own consulting business down in Baja California, bringing American business into Mexico. Luckily, I was able to get in with the director of tourism, and I worked with, I was binational advisor to Secretary of Tourism for Baja California. And because of that, instant credibility, and it broke down barriers for me. But without that documentation, it was so hard for me to build the business up from Mexico. So are you targeting clients within Mexico, or are you targeting them globally in the US? Where globally? Okay.
And in the US, yes. And in Latin America, Mexico, Central America.
Have you experienced that experience like I have said in Mexico at all? Or I mean, Mexico City is a little bit different. It's more, I think, open than other places, but still.
There is something unique about Mexico is, and I don't know if you've came across this, but is, because I'm very familiar with the Mexican culture because I've been very in contact with it for the last 30 years, even though I never lived here as such. I lived and worked with a lot of Mexicans around the world. And so there's something in Mexico that what they call malinchilismo, which is sort of they like sort of disregard themselves and they have higher appreciation for something, a product that comes from the outside. And that's in that position, you know, being a gringo, being an American, North American, they're like, oh, he must know more than we know, right? Right. So that does sort of play in my favor. But again, when we just go generally to them.
Or he has more money than we have and they're going to charge you an extra couple pesos extra, you know.
More money, but no, I have more debt. That's why
I've been through every experience you can imagine. Good, positive, bad. I've seen it all in Mexico. But don't get me wrong. I love Mexico. I would move back there in a heartbeat if I could.
Right. It works for now. I don't know if I'll stay here, but it works for now. My business is bilingual, you know, so as beneficial, and so it works for now. But just going back to your questions, the whole thing about just having, you know, I'm not a known element, and really no credibility in the marketplace. When you're in ministry, when you have a title or another thing, well, you have a platform that automatically gives you visibility and credibility. And so I think that while I knew that was going to happen, I thought it would be easier. But no, you really have to, I think that's the hard, no one's going to give you anything. And when you go back to the ministry, there's a very easy aspect of life in ministry. Well, there's also a lot of challenges, is that people treat you pretty well, right? And so they give you a lot of respect.
They give you a lot of respect because you're a father.
Right.
You're in a position of authority in their minds.
Yes. And then they give you a lot of, they facilitate a lot of things. And now, you know, in the, what we call the real world, nope, you got to do, no one's going to give you anything. And you have to prove yourself. So while I knew that, I think just going through that experience has been challenging.
So we were just talking a little bit, like I mentioned about the inner circles and stuff like that. So let's talk about entrepreneurship and the priorities within those inner circles. How does that all play together? What's your experience with that?
Right. I do a lot of individual work, individual coaching and advisement and consulting. And I also do then just group stuff or organizational stuff, right? So, but this is more around the, when I work with individuals, also with couples, again, whether it be the non-entrepreneurship, I said business world or entrepreneurship, is our priorities can pay a high price at what I call the altar of success. And oftentimes unconsciously or unintentionally. And it's hard. I mean, how do we balance so many things? If I'm in a committed relationship, I have family, I might have kids, and then I have a professional life. You know, there's a lot of things to juggle. So when I work with people, it's really, you know, what are those foundational stones of your life? What we would call priorities. What are the non-negotiables? Because it's important for us to build around those non-negotiables. Because what will happen when we don't establish our non-negotiables, you know, our values and our principles and our priorities, life just hits us with all these waves. And it will have us all over the place doing all kinds of things and not caring for our priorities, principles, and values. Oftentimes unintentionally. So it's all about intentionality. Intentionally caring for my principles, my values, and my priorities. Because in the end, in the bigger picture of life, that's what's most important to me.
Let me ask an off question. You left the Catholic ministry, you left altogether. I mean, even though you were a chaplain with the Navy, you were still there as a Catholic priest. Okay, so you've left that ministry altogether. How important is faith to you to this day? Like, for example, the watch that you're wearing. I'm pretty sure if you were a Catholic priest, you would not be wearing that watch today.
I would be wearing a black one. I had a black one.
There you go. But still, you know, how important is your faith, your religion to you today with doing what you're doing, being that you have left the church?
Yeah, so I still participate in I believe very much in the human person. I believe in religion, even though there's sort of a rejection, societal rejection towards organized religion, because it's done a lot of harm.
That's how we are. We really do not, we're religious as a family, but not religious as far as organized religion goes.
People have a hard time with that nowadays for a lot of different reasons, but we don't need to get into that.
Yeah, we don't need to discuss that. This show, we'll do that. We'll start a whole new podcast about that, right?
I believe very much in the transcendent nature of human beings. In other words, we all want to grow, and we all long for something bigger than us, right? And, you know, whether we call it eternal life, whether we call it God, the supreme being, a higher power, whatever it is, right? And so there's something in us that, and so
a lot of people are using the word creator now.
And so I believe very much in that. And so that's why faith is very important to me. Well, now I'm critical about certain aspects of organized religion, about the Catholic Church, but I have this ability, probably because of what I've lived, I have this ability to differentiate between really the faith and the spiritual element, which is sort of is foundational, and then the human element, which comes and goes and which is human. Right. And has a lot of,
you know, it's very interesting that I have you coming on the show now, and that the timing of how things just happen between me changing positions and stuff like that, because we're actually on a spiritual journey of ourselves right now. And having someone like you that is talking about this stuff, but also entrepreneurial like myself, it's kind of, it's, you know, living in Mexico with the Mexico can, I mean, there, I don't know, man. It just like one of those things that is meant to be, that we were meant to speak, because a lot of the things I'm hearing from you and that we're talking about, I mean, to me, it makes perfect sense, and I love it. And you know, I always kind of feel like when something like this happens, where it's like the synergy, like I can name three synergies right now, and I, you know, everybody knows, I guess religion powers at the number threes or sevens, for example, how things come in threes or three can things come in sevens. And I got three synergies right there between you and I that I was able to name right off the bat that, you know, it was just one of those things that's meant to be. So that's where I'm always glad to have a guest like you on the show. So I guess to end it up, let's just go into our last final topic, which is self-leadership during entrepreneurship. I want to hear your opinion on that, your take on that. Give me all the advice you can on being, you know, your own self-leader, you know, while being an entrepreneur.
Very challenging. So it might just be my approach to leadership is really what I would call a holistic approach. In other words, how I lead myself, how I lead in my inner circles of influence, how I lead professionally, and then how I lead in organizational contexts. I put that as sort of a premise. So the first step is then how I lead in my personal life. In the end, we are the hardest people to lead and the hardest people to follow. It's really, you know, and if we go into what the leadership process is, it's about a leader, a follower, and a context. But this, first and foremost, this happens within us because I am my leader and I am my follower. In other words, you know, that my vision, my ideals, who I want to be, what I'm aiming for, that's what I would call that self that's a leader in me. And then there's my today me, who I'm following and aspiring to that. And then there's the context. And if we talk about entrepreneurship, it's just, and that's where, you know, going back to just priorities, entrepreneurship is all consuming. You know, it's as we all know, it's not a 9-to-5 or whatever type of job. It's all consuming. Yes. And there's so many wonderful elements about it, but there's also so many challenges. And so it goes back to who do I want to be? You know, and that entrepreneurship, that it helps me become the person that I want to be. And that all of a sudden, and that it doesn't, you know, sort of all of a sudden turn me into the person that I never wanted to be. And so this requires a lot of great self-awareness. And I talk a lot about self-awareness. Self-awareness is what I would call the greatest leadership asset. Because the more we know ourselves, the better we can lead ourselves and the better we can lead those around us. And the lack of self-awareness, the greatest leadership liability, because we have so many blind spots. And this can happen, you know, in entrepreneurship, it's just that it's so intense. It's like, I don't have time for me. I don't have time for my priorities. I don't have time to think about what I'm going through. You know, burnout is very common. Depression is very common in entrepreneurs. Divorce is very common in entrepreneurship. So many things are, and I think just because we're human, we get on this train of life or of entrepreneurship. And, you know, then we get to a certain point, we're like, oh, this isn't where I want to be as a human being. Maybe I'm making all the money I wanted, but what has the price been?
What has the price been? Exactly. And that's one thing that I truly believe is that when you say the word entrepreneurship, like, for example, I'm the VP of sales for a company. So I am not an entrepreneur, meaning that I'm not the owner of the business, but I am an entrepreneur because I have all the qualities and I'm building this business up as if it was my own company and putting my own sweat, blood, tears into everything that I do. So I have all the qualities of an entrepreneurship, but doing it underneath someone else's dime. And I kind of think that a lot of those things, like they play together, you know, like, for example, you know, working 24/7 or giving 95% to the job, 5% to the family. And that's kind of where I think I've suffered with my work-life balance over the years.
It's natural that happened. And anything that I'm saying is not to make people feel bad. It's just that it's a natural thing that we go through as human beings. And that's why I do what I do, so that I can support people, protect their priorities, and really become people that they want to be. And not just to unconsciously end up where they didn't want to be, which is kind of part of my story. I ended up in certain positions or moments in my life where, like, this, I never wanted to be here. Right? And it was just because I was unconscious. I wasn't aware. I was making poor decisions, whatever it was. I was ending up in places where that is.
Yeah, it was like that for a little bit as well, too. It just kind of took a little bit of a, I call that a spiritual awakening, to where it's like, hey, I have awoken now. And it kind of, like, I remember came through a dream, and it really, since you're religious, I'll put it in religious context, but it felt like God was speaking to me and it woke me up. I remember it was like 12:45 in the morning. I've only been asleep maybe 90 minutes. I had this dream. It was that powerful. Like, it kept me up through the rest of the night. I started doing exercise, started taking care of myself, started cleaning up things that I haven't touched in months. I started doing a lot of different things. Like, from that night on, it really impacted and changed my life. And I felt like, I really feel like it was, you know, God or whoever you want to believe in was giving me a message as far as, hey, everything's going to be all right. You just need to have patience and you need to do things the right way and everything will turn out the way that you need it to be. And from that moment, like, everything just kind of clicked like light bulbs. And it's been up and down since then, you know, it's day by day, but it's been a lot better for me personally.
Just imagine just that one moment when you weren't even awake.
Well, the thing is that I had it a couple times, like a similar type dream, but I wake up the next morning and it's like, I really didn't remember it. It had no impact. This time it was like, dang it, you're going to hear me and you're going to hear me now. And it woke me up and it shook me to the core.
Imagine that. Something, a voice that was calling you to better.
Like, it really just shook me to the core. It kept me up. Like, I wasn't tired. I think I was probably up for 36 hours straight because of that, doing all this stuff, all the stuff I was procrastinating on. Like, it really, really impacted me to a huge level that is beyond magnitude, that I don't think people can understand unless they've experienced it themselves.
Impactful. Thanks for sharing that, David.
Oh, no problem. That's why I like the show. I mean, everybody that listens to it knows, I'll tell you my good, bad, evil. I'll tell you all the good things, bad things about me. But while we get back talking about you, and why don't you tell me, I mean, where can people reach out to you? Where can people find out more about your practice, your business, you know, anything you want to share about how people can get connected with you and learn more about what you're doing? Go ahead. Floor is yours.
David, thank you. So they can find me on my website, bracketalliance.com. And at Matthew Brackett Official on the different platforms like TikTok and Instagram and Facebook. I'm also on LinkedIn as Matthew Brackett. So those are the best ways to find me, to kind of see my content, see what I do, see if I'm a good fit for you, for your organization. Something that I also do along with, you know, whether it be the conferences and workshops or the individual teaching, is consulting and training around diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's a very thorny subject in the States. It's become very, what I call, and with the DE&I sort of acronym, divisive, exclusive, and ideological, right? And so I give it a, I think what I would call a healthy and wholesome approach, and really just anthropologically of who we are as human beings and why it's important, not in the political sense, but why it's important for us as human beings. So that's something I also offer. So, and I do some couples work. Some people call me the Swiss Army knife of, you know, of coaching and consulting, just because life has given me so many exposure to so many things, and to work with thousands of lives, thousands of people and organizations. And so I bring a pretty interesting skill set to someone. So that's where they can find me. That's what I do.
Okay, perfect. And as everybody knows, we will have the link down below in the description. I guess I'll call you ex-father Matthew Brackett. Thank you for so much for coming onto the show, sharing your personal story, your professional story. I'm telling you, if that doesn't motivate someone out there to either change careers or give you a call as far as getting some coaching or something like that, I don't know what will. That was really motivating. Thank you so much for coming on, my friend.
Thank you, David. Thank you, man. Yeah.
Cheers. Wow, that was an incredible chat with Matthew, right? First, though, you all know the routine. If you found this interview helpful, if it sparked those warm and fuzzies, do me a favor, hit that like button, smash that subscribe button. But if you really want to help us out, because you know Shark Bite Biz is the greatest kept secret in the world of small business, please share us out to your friends, your neighbors, your colleagues, wherever you dwell in an interweb. I don't care. I'm platform agnostic. I just want to see Matthew Brackett, Shark Bite Biz, out there trending. Anyways, awesome stuff, Matthew. Thank you so much for coming on, sharing your expertise and how you help people grow. Question of the day: what do you think of influencers? Yucky or okay? Give me your feedback. Leave a comment down below on YouTube. If you want to be on the show, interviews at sharkbitebiz.com. If you're watching on YouTube, please support the channel. $3 a month, you can become a baby shark. Helps us. Every dollar in is a dollar out. I put on ads, promotions, production, all that good stuff. Also, thank you again to our amazing sponsor, Stellar One Consulting. They are incredible. If you're running QuickBooks, let's get you off that. Let's get you into Acumatica. SAP, we have a solution for you, large or small. We can find the solution that fits you. Reach out to me directly, david@sharkbitebiz.com, or go to stellar1consulting.com or stellar1.io. You all know this not by now, but I'll say it once again. I'm David Strasser. This is Shark Bite Biz. We'll see you all next episode. Ciao.
You've just experienced Shark Bite Biz with Dave Strasser. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe to the show to help us spread the word about personal, professional, and business growth. Want to be on the show? Send an email to interviews@sharkbitebiz.com. Special shout out to our sponsor, an SAP and Acumatica Gold Partner Stellar One. Get off QuickBooks. Automate businesses' processes. And have your business reach the stars. StellarOneConsulting.com or reach out to the show. Till next episode.